Hello there. Get ready to smile again with Radio's Home Folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by Procter & Gamble, the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco.
Well, Nora, what are you doing in the kitchen at this hour?
Making an experiment.
Experiment?
Uh-huh. Remember that cake Ruth served at her party tonight?
Oh, yeah. Say, that was a swell cake, all right. That lemon filling was a honey. And as for that cake, boy, it was as light as a feather.
I know. And when I saw you on your third piece, I figured it was high time I found out how Ruth made her cake so light.
Oh, does she make them different than you do?
Yes. She uses a new kind of shortening. Sure Mixed Crisco, she called it. And the Crisco people say it can give you lighter cakes than any other shortening they know of.
It's funny that shortening should make so much difference.
You know, that's just what I thought. But Ruth said it's because Crisco is a different kind of shortening. It's made by an exclusive process that makes Crisco an active blender.
Active blender?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what I'm out here finding out. Ruth gave me some Crisco to take home, and she told me to put a tablespoon of Crisco in a glass like this,
mm-hmm.
and then to add a teaspoon of water and stir it a little.
Well, by golly, fat and water aren't supposed to mix, but that Crisco is taking the water right up.
Yes, folks, it's amazing, I know. But Crisco does take water right up, and Crisco does the same thing with your cake ingredients. Active blending means that Crisco helps your milk and your eggs and your flour mix together more completely than ever before. You get a smoother cake batter with Crisco than with any other shortening. A satin smooth cake batter that gives you lighter cakes. If you want lighter cakes, it's purely up to you. Crisco is waiting to give them to you. Make one of your favorite cakes. Use the same recipe, the same ingredients. Change nothing but your shortening. This time, use new Sure Mix Crisco. That cake can prove that Crisco gives you lighter cakes than any other shortening. Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while, as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Crook. Vic is established at the library table, competing with himself in a brisk game of solitaire. His wife sits nearby, ostensibly glancing through the newspaper. Actually, however, she's reading what's scribbled on a piece of scrap paper she just happened to spy beside her on the arm of the davenport. And of a sudden, she says in expostulating tones,
"No, Vic."
"Beg pardon?"
"You're not going to send Christmas presents to all these fellas."
"All what fellas?"
"On this scrap of paper."
"That is a private scrap of paper."
"Well, it's laying here on the arm of the davenport, pretty public."
"I meant to throw it in the garbage bucket and forgot."
"No, but goodness. Goss Fuss, L. Wiley Fapp, U.F. Beakley, T.W. Weatherwax, Howard S.
Some of those guys I'm going to send Christmas cards to."
"No, I'm reading the list marked gifts. You got one list marked cards and one list marked gifts. This is the one marked gifts."
"I feel that I'm quite capable of deciding to whom I wish to send Christmas presents. In fact,
I have the same rotten old argument every year."
"I know we do, and it's the most distressing thing. I had intended to handle my own Christmas giving this time and make no mention of the matter around home here. However, I slipped up. Before supper, I jotted down a bunch of names on that piece of scrap paper there and then carelessly allowed it to come under your eye."
"Who's Gus Fuss?"
"A warm friend and a good scout."
"Never heard of him."
"He's with the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, Plant 17, Dubuque, Iowa."
"Hmm."
"I believe I pointed you out his picture on the cover of the last Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly."
"Shirt sleeves?"
"What?"
"Fella in his shirt sleeves, vest but no coat, earmuffs on his ears?"
"Yeah, that's best fuss."
"Why should you have to send him a big expensive Christmas present?"
"Is some mention made of big expensive Christmas presents on that list?"
"We might as well shovel our money out the window with a coal scoop."
"I suggest you save your breath, Sadie. I'm determined that Gus Fuss will receive some slight token from his old pal Vic at Christmas time."
"Spend $5 or $6, hmm?"
"Very possibly."
"Well, let's draw our lovely money out of the savings bank and go throw it in the middle of Miller Park Lake."
"All right, let's do."
"Who's L. Willie Fapp?"
"L. Wiley Fapp."
"Who's he?"
"Another wonderful fellow from Plant 17, Dubuque, Iowa."
"Is he a dear old darling chum of yours?"
"I feel that between L. Wiley Fapp and myself, there exists a firm bond of friendship, yes."
"Funny, I never heard of any of these beloved arms around the neck buddies."
"I've mentioned L. Wiley Fapp on numerous occasions. I recall mentioning him just the other day. I was telling you and Rush about how he bought me a chocolate bar when I was in Dubuque.
He bought you a chocolate bar, so you feel like you have to trot out your pocketbook and get him a big, monstrous, expensive Christmas present.
Oh, kiddo, for Pete's sake.
No, but actually, every year in the world we go through the same business. You cook up a list of fellas a mile long to send gifts to. Why?
Please give me credit
Gus
for
having... Gus $5 present. Nell Willie Yap, $5 present.
L. Wiley Fapp. L. Wiley Fapp
is... $10. My goodness, $10. All that's fondulix. Just because Jess Mess bought you an ice cream cone.
Not Jess Mess, Sadie. Gus Fuss. And it wasn't an ice cream cone. It was a chocolate bar. And it wasn't Gus Fuss bought it for me. It was L. Wiley Fapp. Furthermore,
January,
I think
February, I'm... February, March, April,
I'm
May, June, July,
year,
August,
thanks.
September, October, November, we scrape and save and scrimp and accumulate money to put in the bank and are proud of ourselves. Then along comes December and something happens to your head and we take the bread out of our mouth to buy presents for all the fellas on this list. Oh, must be 20 fellas down here. And you're going to give them all $5 presents. And what's 5 times 20? 100?
Was when I went to school.
Think of it. $100. No, Vic, let's do that.
Do what?
Draw our money out of the savings bank and go throw it in the middle of Miller Park Lake.
I presume you have friends you intend to remember at Christmas time?
Just a teeny tiny rotten few. Robert and Laura Steen Price, Chuck and Dottie Brainfeeble, Bess and Walter, Fred and Ruthie, Mr. and Ms. Donahue, Uncle Fletcher, and Miss Harris, you and Rush. That's about my list.
You're a housewife. I'm a businessman. Naturally, a businessman has many more obligations.
Oh, fiddly-whittle. Who's this U.F. Beakley?
U.F. Beakley happens to be the exalted Big Dipper of the Purple Prairie Popinjay chapter of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way in Moline, Illinois.
A wild stranger.
The gentlemen whose names you see on that scrap of paper are not wild strangers. The gentlemen whose
They're
names
They're wild
you...
strangers as far as I'm concerned. It's U.F. Beakley now. What you going to buy him for Christmas?
A gold watch and chain.
No.
So U.F. Beakley gets a gold watch and chain. Gus Fuss gets a leather easy chair.
No.
L. Wiley Fapp gets a 16-cylinder automobile. T.W. Weatherwax gets a set of office furniture. Howard S. Montgomery gets a ruby ring. I. Edson Box gets a yacht. And Sam Shout gets a solid platinum coat hanger.
Ha, ha, ha.
Percy X. Snoot gets an emerald necktie clasp, for which I propose laying out $15,000 hard cash.
Very funny, ha, ha, ha.
Well, it's very funny, ha, 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 this dimwit talk. I'm not going to buy all those guys $5 presents. You ought to know that.
How much are you going to spend?
Well, I can't tell. Haven't thought about it. 50 cents, maybe. 75. $1.25.
What kind of a gift can you get for 50 cents?
I don't know, say.
No, but what kind can you?
I don't know.
There's 20 names on this list.
Are there?
I counted them.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you bought 20 50-cent presents. What would that add up to?
$10.
Well, we're not the kind of people, Vic, where $10 is grow on trees out in our front yard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got to squeeze our $10 into a legal house.
Mm.
Can't you cut down on some of these names?
Sure.
You can?
Sure.
You're just saying that.
No.
You're just saying that so I'll quit talking.
No, you cut down the list yourself. Scratch out anybody you choose. Scratch out Gus Fuss. Scratch out L. Wiley Fapp. Scratch out Percy X. Snoot. Here's my pencil.
You'll just make out another list. Won't you?
Please, Dave.
Of course, you're doing your best to make me out stingy and mean. You know I'm not, though. You know, I'm only trying to...
Telephone's ringing.
All right, get it.
Mm.
Gus Fuss, L. Wiley Fapp, U.S. Beakley, T.W. Weatherwax, Howard S. Montgomery, I. Edson Box, Sam Shout.
Hello? Why, no, he's not. Down to YMCA, I believe. Well, I suppose, watching a fat man play handball. Who is this? Oh, hello, Rooster. How are you? Uh-huh. Fine, thanks. Yeah, I think you'll find him there. Okay, Rooster. Mr. Davis, by George.
No, but what can you get for 50 cents?
Derby hat.
Seriously?
I don't know.
Can't get any very substantial Christmas gift for that little bit.
I'm just going to buy these fellas trifles, Dave.
Do you expect to receive Christmas presents from them?
Sure.
I don't remember you getting any 20 gifts from your business friends last year, or any year.
I got quite a few.
What did Russ Buss send you?
Russ Buss?
Yeah.
Sent me a necktie.
Where is it?
In Cody, Wyoming, under heavy guard.
I don't remember any necktie.
Oh, say.
No, but I don't.
Gus Fuss, give me a necktie. Gus Fuss, give me a necktie. Gus Fuss, give me a necktie. Gus Fuss, give me a necktie.
Funny, you can't tell me which one.
Gus Fuss, give me a necktie.
What did Bill Willie Fipp send you?
L. Riley Fapp?
Yeah.
Send me a necktie.
I don't recall you receiving any bushel baskets full of neckties last Christmas.
L. Riley Fapp sent me a necktie.
U.F. Beakley send you a necktie also?
Yes.
What color was it? Green?
Yes.
T.W. Weatherwax send you a necktie?
Yes. T.W. Weatherwax sent me a necktie.
Then Howard S. Montgomery and I. Edson Box and Sam Schaus and Percy X. Snood?
Yes.
Just refused to discuss this with me.
It's all so wretched and pointless and miserable.
I'm only trying to do what any wife would do, Vic.
Thanks.
I see places where your lovely salary can be economized on a little. Naturally, I do my best to track them down.
Mm-hmm.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. We watch our pennies and save and scrimp and are real proud of our thriftiness. And then December comes along and you trot out your lead pencil and fix up Christmas lists with Moss Puss and Gel Billy Sap and T.W. Weatherwax and Sam.
Telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing.
Right.
I bet it's good old Vernon Peggers, mm-hmm. or good old Roy Snow, or good old Smelly Clark.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good old Leland Richards.
Could be good old Fred and Ruthie.
Hello? Oh, yes, it is.
Fred and Ruthie?
Yeah. How are you, Dr. Sleech? Oh, just sitting around with our shoelaces in our eyelets. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, sir, by George, Ruthie, I'll just go to work and see. They feel like 500.
All right.
Sadie hit the ceiling with ecstasy at the prospect, Ruthie. Fine. 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 Okay, dandy. See you, Ruthie. Bye-bye.
Coming here, hmm?
Yep.
Right away?
Within the next half hour.
Hmm. Gus Fuss, L. Willie Fapp, U.F. Beakley, T.W. Weatherwax, Howard S. Montgomery.
Please, Sadie.
I. Edson Box, Sam Shout.
Please.
Percy X. Snoop.
Sadie.
What?
Please.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. But don't forget to come along when we visit Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.
Washing, washing with the new Ivory Flakes. Oh, but they're slick, they're double quick, and just the trick for stockings. Wearing, wearing, oh, how your stockings wear. If you'll be bright and every night use double quick Ivory Flakes. Yes, sir, the important thing is, don't let your stockings pile up. Why, if you'll just walk up to that wash bowl every night and swish your stockings through those pure Ivory Flakes suds, well, believe me, it sure can be a lifesaver when it comes to longer stocking wear.
Why, it's amazing the wonderful wear women got when they tested many leading brands of silk stockings for us with new Ivory Flakes. For example, during a test with some beautiful Gotham gold striped stockings, women got 311 hours of wear, 319 hours, even as much as 340 hours of constant hard wear from a single pair of stockings. And when you think that silk stockings may soon be getting scarce, well, take the advice of experts. Remember, 9 out of 10 leading makers of famous stockings advise new double-quick Ivory Flakes for both their silks and their nylons.
So every night give hoes a dip, the night of bath don't ever skip with those new Ivory Flakes. They're marvelous for longer wear.